Welcome friends to Literature Mantra. I'm Harsh Singh, and in this audio we will discuss Gayatri Spivak. Now Gayatri Spivak was born in 1942. She was educated in Calcutta and later on at the University of Cambridge and Cornell University. And later on she became professor at Columbia University where she teaches comparative literature. Gayatri Spivak is of Indian origin and she is famous as a literary theoretician, as a feminist critic, and also as a post-colonial theorist. And she is known for her personal brand of deconstructive criticism, which she called interventionist. Okay, interventionist. And Spivak became famous when she translated the work of Jacques Derrida from French to English with the title Of Grammatology. Of Grammatology. This is the work which made her really famous. And this was published in 1976, the translated version. In the field of post-colonial studies, along with Homi Bhabha, Edward Said, Gayatri Spivak, these three people are almost considered to be a kind of holy trinity. But as I said that she is not just a post-colonial theorist, she is also a feminist critic. And in a series of later essays, Spivak urged women to become involved in and to intervene in the evolution of deconstructive theory. She also urged her colleagues to focus on women's historicity, and she is critical of phallogocentric historical interpretations. And Spivak has also accused the bourgeois Western feminists of complicity with international capitalism in oppressing and exploiting women of the developing world. And there is one more very famous work of Gayatri Spivak for which she is famous, and that is her essay, Can the Subaltern Speak? Can the Subaltern Speak? For these two works are particularly for what Gayatri Spivak is very famous. First is the translation of Jacques Derrida's work with the English title Of Grammatology, and the second one is Can the Subaltern Speak? And from an exam point of view, she has written few more works which is important. One is called The Post-Colonial Critic. Okay, The Post-Colonial Critic, which came out in 1990. After that, A Critique of Post-Colonial Reason. Okay, A Critique of Post-Colonial Reason. And this work came out in 1999. Now, after this, she has also coined some terms and phrases which have become very famous. And one such phrase is called Strategic Essentialism. Okay, Strategic Essentialism. Now, what is Strategic Essentialism? It is basically a political tactic or strategy employed by a minority group acting on the basis of a shared identity in the public arena in the interests of unity during a struggle for equal rights. And this particular work has been used in the field of feminism, queer theory, and post-colonial theory. Now you might ask, why strategic essentialism? Because Spivak has time and again argued that essentializing the identity of the subaltern or subaltern women or subaltern communities is something which we should avoid, we should desist from. But here she goes on to say, and she supports strategic essentialism. So, essentialism only till the time it is strategic for a particular purpose. And this essay, Can the Subaltern Speak, was published in 1988. And in this essay, Can the Subaltern Speak, Spivak argues that the abolition of the Hindu rite of sati, or the practice of sati in India by the British, has been generally understood as a case of white men saving brown women from brown men. Okay, white men means the Europeans saving brown women, means Indian women from Indian men. And in this essay, Spivak encourages but also criticizes the efforts of Subaltern Studies Group, a project that is led by Ranajit Guha, that has reappropriated the Gramscian term of subaltern in order to locate and re-establish a voice or collective locus of agency in post-colonial India. And although Spivak acknowledges the epistemic violence, okay, she uses this term epistemic violence, which has been done upon Indian subalterns, she suggests that any attempt from the outside to ameliorate or make better the condition of these subalterns by granting them collective speech invariably will encounter the following problems. First problem, it is a logocentric assumption of cultural solidarity among a heterogeneous people. Means to say that the subalterns living in India are kind of heterogeneous. They are not all the same, but we will have to assume that they are the same. So this is the first problem. Second problem, a dependence on Western intellectuals to speak for subaltern condition rather than allowing them to speak for themselves. So effectively, if somebody else or a Western intellectual speaks on the behalf of the subalterns in India, it would mean that the subalterns themselves are not being heard they themselves are unable to speak what their real problems are. And as Spivak argues, by speaking out and reclaiming a collective cultural identity, subalterns will in fact re-inscribe their subordinate position in society. So, Spivak's point of view is that in the process of trying to help the subalterns, we should not silence their voices. Instead, we should allow them to speak for themselves. We should allow the subalterns to speak for themselves. Whatever their problems are, we should allow them to speak rather than speaking on their behalf. This is the main argument of this essay.